This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN. This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer.
Thursday night edition of the show. We thank you for stopping by. We'll keep you updated on the Yankees. We'll talk a little football and NBA playoffs. Here we go. And you can join us at 1-800-919-3776. Also via Twitter, at Gordon Damer, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPNNY, 98_7FM, along with Jake the Snake and Brian the Brain. We're here until midnight. Then it's Freddie and Fitz on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Hey, Gordon.
Larry, what's going on tonight, my friend?
I was thinking about you, tuning into the Yankees.
Yeah.
And I was saying, boy, you know what? Gordon is like Nostradamus. We should call him Gordamus.
Okay.
Because you were just talking up about the bottom of the Yankee lineup, how you knew they were about to come around. Like, there wasn't a lot of stuff early, but
Absolutely.
You knew they were coming around. Not only did you get a RBI from your catcher, but you also got a stolen base. And 2-0, and, you know, they accounted for the only runs.
Well, look, you know me, Larry. If anybody's listened to this show for a while, you know I am a big fan of Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. So good to see him finally come through tonight. My guy IKF is coming through with the RBI.
There you go.
And coming into tonight, the Yankee 8 and 9 hitters had been 3-for-42 tonight, 4-for-4, 2 ribbies, and that my friends, is the definition of why we love baseball, because you never know what you're going to get on any given night. Strange things happen, and a night after Vlad Guerrero is a one-man wrecking crew, here comes Luis Severino to strike him out 3 times, first time he's ever been struck out 3 times in a game by the same pitcher.
How good was Severino tonight?
It's so good to see him back, because that guy has gone through a lot. And he was he was an excellent pitcher before he left. And then he goes down and he has not been able to get back. And with pitchers, I guess it's the same with position players, because it's kind of the same story with Miguel Andujar. You kind of wonder if whether or not they're ever going to get back.
Yeah.
And with him, with all the different things. And then early on in spring training, when he started to have that soreness, you're thinking, oh boy, here we go again. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what a boost to the rotation. If that guy gets back to where he was, Yankee rotation looks pretty good.
You're right. It does. With him as a strong number two, 6 Ks tonight, only a couple of walks, 2 hits. And, Gordon, here's what I liked about him is he had great command, and his off-speed stuff complemented his 98, 99-mile-an-hour fastball perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like looked like vintage Severino. And look, I get it. We're all kind of jazzed up for the season to start, and I think the expectations have just been ratcheted up a little bit too much. So to see him go out tonight and give up just a couple of hits against a very good Blue Jays lineup,
smoking
83 pitches. I mean, his fastball, as you said, was sitting 97, 98, 99,
mm-hmm.
and
on the black.
Really, yeah, I mean, and mixed
block,
up a lot of stuff tonight, too.
Yeah, he had a great – you know what? They called a really good game against this Toronto lineup. They kept them off balance. And, maybe some of the – here's the thing that is so interesting about umpires, especially behind the plate. It could be off the plate, but, Gordon, if you're off the plate consistently, they'll give you that strike. A lot of the umpires will give you that strike if it's just a little bit off the plate. And it just seemed like tonight's umpire he gives you off the plate to the right-hand batter. He gives you off the plate to the left side. On the inside, he doesn't give the pitchers that. Inside, no, that's going to be a ball. But on the outside corner, he had a little leeway there, and it helped Severino to set up so that when he came back inside, they had to lean out a little bit. So when they came back in, see ya, done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what you need. You need some of these outings and to get him to get to what did he get to? 83, 85 pitches, whatever it was.
83.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're looking for. I know everybody is crazy that Gerrit Cole has not gone deeper into games. Obviously, the conversation about Clayton Kershaw has been one that has exploded here the last couple of days. But considering where Severino has been and what he's dealt with, to see that guy back on the mound, and he's still a young guy.
Yeah,
I mean, it feels like he's been around forever. It feels like he's been gone forever. Mm-hmm. But I mean, a big piece of the Yankees, if they can get him back and keep him pitching anything like this, boy. I mean, is he going to go up against a better lineup this year? I mean, that's a tough lineup. That's a gauntlet. And maybe, you know, we still got to get into the season a little bit. You know, the batters will click a little bit as it heats up. But impressed with what Severino was able to do tonight.
Now, as a Yankee fan, Gordon, you watch tomorrow. How does he feel? Was there any soreness or anything?
Of course. I mean, it's going to be
the concern.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hold your breath all season long with him because of just the significance of the injuries that he's dealt with and the amount of time he's been gone.
Yeah. So, Gordon, take me through this now. And it's been the conversation that a lot of us have had in talking baseball. And you can join us at 1-800-919-3776. And that is because of the late spring training, the shortened spring training, right? And because your pitchers have not really been stretched out. Gordon, these bullpens are being taxed like no other time. And your bullpen's been very good. We understand a lot of bullpens have been good. But, Gordon, you keep going to that bullpen. The art of resting somebody and then keeping somebody in reserve and then, you know, bringing them this day and then not available that day and whatnot. It's a major juggling act for Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, they got the expanded rosters and the Yankees, that's one of those things that kind of benefits them because it does seem like they are able to kind of find these guys, right? But maybe I'm biased because I'm a Yankee fan, but it feels like the Yankees are able to find these relievers and develop these relievers better or as good as anybody else. So the fact that they have the expanded rosters to have some extra arms in the bullpen, at least until the start of next month, I mean, it takes some of the burden off of it. But look, this is the way that they have been trending anyway, right? The beginning of the season, you're not going to throw a guy out there for 105 pitches, 110 pitches. It's going to be the first couple of times. This year, it's been a little bit more pronounced. But I think that that's probably the right approach because, again, we're making it out like these April games are life and death. They're not. They're not life and death. So the fact that Gerrit Cole has gone out there two times, think about how ridiculous this sounds. Like, if you were to say this in June that people were calling up and talking about how Gerrit Cole has been a disappointment so far in his two starts. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. Like, yeah, do you not know how long a baseball season is?
Yeah.
So, I think that teams are – it kind of plays into the Yankees' hand because they have such a good bullpen generally and they're able to get guys to come in and just throw shutdown innings. But, yeah, I mean, with the spring training being and the lockout being as long as it was, I think teams are going to kind of rely on that a little bit more. And that's kind of been the trend anyway, right? I mean, like, anytime anybody gets into trouble anymore, it's like, hey, like, go to the bullpen. And fans and media, we're nobody to judge because if that pitcher's out there in the sixth inning and he gives up a couple of runs, the first thing we're all jumping, oh, why didn't you go to the bullpen? Why didn't you go to this guy? Why didn't you go to that guy? So no, you can't win.
It's as tough as ever to be a manager, isn't it? It's just, it's unbelievable. And then, of course, you know, with the sabermetricians there, well, you know, you really can't give him, no, you can't have him pitch today. No. He threw 10 pitches yesterday, and he threw 23 pitches in one inning. He can't pitch for the next week. You know, so it's really just a juggling act. And, you know, now you're asking your bullpen, which is interesting because, you know, normally guys go one inning apiece, Gordon, so you're asking your bullpen to get, what, 12 outs, 15 outs on some occasions?
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's
and then, you know, heaven forbid the game goes extra innings.
Yeah,
so
with the runner on second.
Right. I mean, then you come in and you're already in trouble. I mean, think about what the pressure that puts on the reliever. You're coming in, there's already a guy on second base. So we talk about, like, high-stress innings. Every extra inning is a high-stress inning for a relief pitcher.
It really is. It really, really is. It's fascinating to the early part of the season. And, you know, it's why we find baseball so fascinating, Gordon, because, you know, you play every day, okay? You may be delayed with rain, and, boy, I was sitting there. I had memories. I had flashbacks, Gordon. I know you did.
Yep.
From sitting up there at the stadium, an hour and a half rain delay. Oh, God, that means we're not getting out of here till 2 in the morning. Oh, no. And so, you know, I was sitting back here just like, thank God I only do talk radio now.
You know what? I don't know if it was as weird here at the stadium as it was where I am, where I live. I had to go get my daughter at 5:30. She had, mm-hmm. she had play practice today. And I leave the house at 5 and I wait. And she likes me to be the first. I like to be the first car in the line. So mm-hmm. I leave at 5. I listen to the K show. I get some stuff done in the car. I have peace and quiet. And I'm driving from my house. And Larry, it's like cats and dogs. It's mm-hmm. like end of the world stuff. Mm-hmm. I drive. I'm not even like 500 feet down the road. Mm-hmm. And it stopped.
Wow, really?
It was like something out of the Truman Show. It was so weird. It was like all of a sudden it's the end of the world. I drive up the block. I make a right turn. I go down to the stop sign. Go a little bit further. Boop. It's gone.
Wow.
I'm like, this is this is some weird stuff. I've seen some weird weather stuff over the years, but that's about as strange as it gets. And the way it was raining when you first heard, oh, they're going to probably be delayed at the stadium. I'm like, well, if that's rain is anything like the rain here, they're going to be delayed for a while. And then it cleared up pretty quick.
I was hoping for rain because I had yard work to do today.
Right.
So I was praying
Sweetie,
for rain.
I'd love to go out there and do it. But
I was praying.
I mean, Mother
Could
Nature.
It rain? I really don't want to go out here and rake dead grass and pick up leaves. I really don't want to do that today. Could it rain so I could put it off? And it rained after I was done. You know,
well,
this is my life.
That's unfortunately, that is the life that we live now, you know?
Yeah, I was hoping. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Yankees holding on to a 2-0 lead as they bat in the bottom of the sixth up at the stadium. Mets had the day off as they prepare for their home opener tomorrow on Jackie Robinson Day and on the unveiling of the statue of Tom Seaver. Tom Terrific. So a lot to do with at Citi Field tomorrow. But Gordon, Aaron Boone was on the Michael Kay Show, and I'm telling you, if you miss it, ladies and gentlemen, you have to. It's must listen. You need to set the appointment. Put the little alarm in the schedule in your on your smart device, because he had a really, really interesting conversation. Gordon, let me tell you, ask me how I know this was an interesting conversation.
Well, I'm assuming you listened to it.
Not only did I listen to it, but Gordon, Don LaGreca liked it. You know how Don LaGreca feels about guests.
Yeah, generally, yes.
He'd rather talk to himself for five hours than to have a guest.
Well, I mean, in radio, everybody likes to get guests, but sometimes if they don't bring it to the table, it's just killing time. You move on quickly. You know, there's very few newsmakers that you're going to talk to on a regular basis. Now, their show is a little different. They get newsmakers, but Aaron Boone is one of those guys. And I would think because of the relationship that Michael has with him, he knows that he's not going to get sandbagged, right? They're not going to ask him like unfair questions or paint him in an unfair light. And a lot of times with interviews, that's a key thing going in, that the person knows that they can kind of trust you to not, hammer them unfairly. They're just looking for a fair ear.
Yeah. And listen, he's done a nice job. And Gordon, I respect that he's been available, because you know how the battle of the stations have been, the history between the two.
Yeah, sure.
So for them to have him on occasion previously and now every week, outstanding, as Giancarlo Stanton has a double with one out. So let's begin. Double or single?
Single. He was held to first. Okay. I mean, he just hit it too hard.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't an out like last night.
Well, same part of the
stadium, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got to start. You know what? He's got to start muscling up. I mean, he's going to have to start doing some dumbbell curls or something. He can't get these balls out of the stadium anymore. Maybe I'll show him a couple exercises when I get a chance.
He needs to go the opposite way.
Yeah, maybe.
He's a
slap hitter now, yep. Yeah. IKF style.
Yeah, he's got warning track power. What happened to him?
He does. What happened?
Here's what Aaron Boone on the Michael Kay Show. Here's, as Gordon was talking about, Gerrit Cole, who's been, the topic of conversation, one of the big topics of conversation as far as the Yankee fans are concerned. Here's how Aaron Boone feels about Gerrit Cole this season.
I think right now, I think physically, mentally, everything, I think he's in a really good place. I'm really excited for what his year's going to be. Last night was close to being, dominant. Vladdy hits a two-run homer on a pitch. I'm still wrapping my brain around. But otherwise, I think I like where he's at, especially as we're, essentially in his last spring start, roughly. But I love where he's at, and I'm really excited about the year I think he's going to have.
Of course, Aaron Boone is going to be in his ace's corner, but once again, Gordon, it's just so early. that is crazy to feel like you have to address it after two starts.
It is,
especially when it's not like he lost 10-0 and 15-2.
No.
And, you know, he was in the game, and I mean, he lost to a team where a guy had a career night.
Yeah. I mean, he's a really good hitter. And again, he said it last night. It's not making excuses. He said, "You tip your cap." What do you want him to say? Mm-hmm. He made the pitch he want. He didn't. Now an excuse would have been, "Well, you know, I didn't want to put the pitch right there. You know, I didn't get enough on it." He said he made the pitch that he wanted to make, and Vlad still hit it out. What do you want him to say?
That's baseball.
That's baseball, right?
That is very simple. That's baseball, Gordon. Aaron Boone weighed in on Cole/Horngate. You know, the horn sound effect
after
two strikes?
The pregnant whale thing. Yep. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, here's what he says about his ace not liking that sound effect.
Someone told me that Coney said it was a pregnant whale, and when I heard it yesterday, I'm like that's a perfect analogy. That's kind of what it sounds like. And now the speakers have changed, and if you've been to Yankee Stadium so far this year, they are pumping more music and it's louder, and which I think's been a really good thing. But that pregnant whale is right in my ear on the bench now. So and then I noticed a different one later in the game last night. So, you know, whatever. Usually when they're playing it, it's usually setting up to be a good thing for us.
But I guess what Peter's asking, Aaron, I guess there's a separation between what goes on upstairs and downstairs, but if the ace of your staff doesn't like it, then why is it being played?
That's it.
If he doesn't like it to a point, then we will try to adjust that.
That's right. Doggone it. Cole's in charge here.
Well, I don't know that I don't know that Cole was the first one to really even say anything about it. I think the first person to say anything about it was Severino, that he just can't hear.
Yeah, because it couldn't hear the
Look, it's one thing if somebody is saying, well, you know, I just don't like the sound. But if it's making the whole pitchcom thing more difficult to get the sign,
mm-hmm.
Well, then, yeah, I think you probably should adjust it. It's not just simply, well, I don't like that thing. I think it is that this is making my job harder.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's what you want to do
no.
for your hometown team.
Absolutely not. Where's the home field advantage? Now, you should do it. You should play it when the opposing pitcher has two strikes.
Right, like the Giants, when they open up those gates for the field goals, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're going to cheat, at least cheat effectively.
Yeah, you know, Parcells would give the signal, the doors would open, and all the footballs would go take a hard right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Gordon, this is something that I found really interesting from the interviews today. And it comes with lineups and sabermetrician and all this other stuff. So first, Boone and the guys talked about the challenge of having too many everyday players and trying to make sure everybody stays in the lineup.
You have 9 legitimate starters that have started their whole life, and one of them is going to sit out every single day. I just don't think that's sustainable for you.
Michael, it's going to work itself out. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, there's a chance one or two guys doesn't sit in the first 10 games. There's a chance, you know, one or two sit twice. And, you know, it'll work itself out over time based on, you know, hopefully we remain this healthy with our everyday guys. And I think you're off a little bit. I think it totally works itself out, and the season's going to dictate how it works itself out, whether it be somebody's nicked up and needs a couple days, somebody has to go on the IL eventually at some point. You know, performance, you know, will start to come into play, certainly.
And the discussion goes further as they talk about the lineup being stressful.
If the baseball got smile on you and nobody gets hurt, this is a constant thing every single game for you.
I couldn't disagree more.
Like, I love it.
If nobody gets hurt, then a guy's sitting once a week. You know, and that's going to serve us well. And if we remain injury free, then I would say this will be a contributor to it. Like, so a guy sits one every 10 days or two other guys sit one every 5 days because it you know, it works out that way, or it deserves to be that way. I don't see the issue, certainly, at this point.
Well, and I think, Gordon, the key phrase is at this point. When you start, and it's just fascinating because the way baseball is now, right, they pick a time so far in advance to give players days off that how do you know that you're giving up? It always seems like a player's hot and you give him a day off at the time that he doesn't really need that day off. But as far as balancing the players and the lineups and stuff like that, even if it was hard, Gordon, I don't think he would say it's hard. I think he would say it's all going to work out.
Of course. You have to have endless optimism. And I would think that at least part of this is above his pay grade, right? Like, he's not the guy who compiled this roster. That, of course, is Brian Cashman's job. And his job is to take the pieces given to him by the front office and to use them in the best way possible. And that also that agrees with the plan that the front office has for those players. So I agree with him. I think it will work itself out. But the problem is that it always seems like there are times where guys are resting and you're thinking to yourself, why does he need to rest? Like last night, having Stanton in the everyday lineup. I mean, the guy's hitting, he's red hot, he's on everything, and that's the time that you are giving him a day off. And this idea that hot doesn't matter or hot doesn't exist, that I completely disagree with.
Funny you mentioned Stanton sitting against Toronto. Because the guys asked Aaron Boone about it. We'll hear what the skipper of the Yankees had to say next on 98.7 ESPN. Gordon, Miguel Castro looks like he's 12 years old.
He does look very young. He's got a good whip, though. You know, like not the walks and hits to innings pitched, but his motion. He's got a lot of whip in his arm, boy.
He does. He's gonna be real good for you guys. He's going to be really good for you guys.
The Yankees have a way of identifying relievers. Now, Cashman is probably his biggest weakness has been identifying starters in his career, but the bullpen, the Yankees generally are able to put together a pretty good bullpen every single season.
Yeah, and he's going to be good because he has, as you mentioned, the whip motion, change of speeds. He does a nice job. He does a real nice job. It's ESPN New York tonight here on 98.7 ESPN. Yankees holding on to their 2-0 lead up at the stadium against the Toronto Blue Jays. And, Gordon, we were talking before the break about Stanton sitting against Toronto instead of Baltimore. Here's what the Yankee skipper had to say on the K-Show.
We're dealing with a guy that's obviously we're able to keep him remarkably healthy last year. I think he might have had one stint on. Mm-hmm. We're coming off a 3-week spring training where the most he played was probably 2-3 games in a row, and he's not going to play 10 in a row out of the gate or 8 in a row out of the gate just because, you know, and I still got a big chip sitting over there on the bench like I did last night with him in a big spot as he's the tying run walking to the plate. Like, you know, it was either, for me, it was a decision between game 4 and game 6 for him, and kind of the way I planned it out with him and talked through it with him. And, you can't all of a sudden just go Boston and Toronto with everyone and then say, okay, I'm going to give everybody a day off when we get to Baltimore. It mm-hmm. can't work that way. We only have 3 guys on the bench right now. So, mm-hmm. I understand, you want everyone in the lineup every single day. But
some guys had
a little
the
bit of a puzzle to it.
And that's the downside of having, 107 pitchers on the roster? You got three bench players.
Well, I mean, in fairness, they really shouldn't be going to the bench very often, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not really if all your guys are good hitters, which the Yankees don't have, you would think that you're not really going to go to the bench all that regularly. So mm-hmm. I get that point. And look, I'm happy that the Yankees have too many good players. that's not the issue. To me, when you're playing the Blue Jays and you're playing the Red Sox, Aaron Boone himself just said the other night, when you're playing the Blue Jays, these games almost count for two.
Yeah. Yep.
So then you can't turn it around and say, well, you know, these games aren't any more important. Again, you're playing the Orioles, Tigers, and Guardians, Orioles, Royals the rest of the month.
Yeah.
You can give everybody days off then.
Absolutely.
Aaron Boone can't have it both ways. He said the other day, and I'm pretty sure we played it, that these games against the Blue Jays, because what everybody expects and how good they are, they almost count for double. Well, then you should absolutely have Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup against them.
Yeah, you should. You should. And you could have rested him against Baltimore.
Right. I mean, and it's not like the entire series against Baltimore. If that's fine, you want to rest him a game against Baltimore? Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. You want to rest Joey Gallo every single day? I'm fine with that, too.
And especially, Gordon, because you're really suffering right now with your run production. I mean, you're not exactly – I mean, you're leading tonight, but, the running and scoring position this series has been brutal.
Just overall offense. You know, they haven't even had that one game where it just all of a sudden clicks and, they'll have one of them. Maybe it'll come against the Orioles this weekend where they score 10 runs. Every night so far, because maybe it's because of the opponent, maybe it's because of the weird spring training, but every game so far has been nip and tuck. What was the most the runs they've scored? They scored, what was it, five in the opener?
I think so.
They scored six in the opener against the Red Sox. That was the season opener. Mm-hmm. They've scored 4-3-0-4-4-2.
Yeah. Not what you want.
Not what you want.
Mm-mm. You want a little more. You want a little more you want a little more margin for error for your pitchers.
You know what I was wondering? Tonight is Elston Howard bobblehead night.
Yes.
I don't know what the attendance was. How many people at that stadium do you think have any idea who Elston Howard was?
There's less people at the stadium because of the weather, and I think that dwindled it even more.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad, but it just, he's a guy that played a very long time ago. I mean, I know the name Elston Howard, but I never saw him play. I mean, he probably wrapped up his career, what, late 60s?
Yeah, I would say. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Meanwhile, people are probably fighting. There's a bobblehead. Give me it. It's free. Give me
That's
it.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's it. As long as it's a bobblehead, I want it.
What are you giving away? I don't know, but it's free. Take two.
That's right. If it's free, it's for me.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong, because maybe if people get one, then they'll say, hey, who's this guy, Elston Howard guy? And then they'll go back and maybe look. I don't know.
Yeah,
let's hope.
Maybe they'll look
That would
up.
Be nice.
Look him up. It would be. It would be nice. So, Gordon, tomorrow – at Citi Field, the New York Mets will have their home opener against Arizona, who I'm really trying to figure out what Arizona is going to be this year. You know what I mean, Gordon? They're always a team because you don't get a chance to see them a lot. I know they're okay, but, it's early, so you're really trying to figure out what teams look like, which way they're going, and so on and so forth. And Chris Bassitt, who had a really, really strong opening in his last outing for the Mets, will be on the mound tomorrow against Zach Davies. And, if he could – I didn't know a lot about Bassitt, Gordon, to be honest, and I knew that he had a major injury last year and he missed some starts. So you're always curious to see how he's going to rebound, and especially with a new team in a new league. But if he can pitch like that all the time, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
No, absolutely. I mean, the rotation for the Mets, Jacob DeGrom, they've pitched great so far, and it doesn't look like the concern you had about Scherzer has been any concern at all. So, no, the Mets have clicked so far. So you're hoping that it just kind of continues. Now, the Mets have had hot starts before.
It's true.
Hot Aprils doesn't always lead to hot Mays and hot Junes, but. It's a good one. It certainly beats the alternative.
And Gordon, when they've had hot Aprils, hot Mays, and hot Junes, they've had poor August, Septembers.
Yes. I was gonna, only thing about the Seaver statue thing, and I'm sure people have brought it up. I haven't seen anybody bring it up. Why did it take this long?
I know. It's crazy.
Why did it take this long? Why couldn't they have had a day with him here?
Mm-hmm.
It's just so sad.
It is. It really is.
Because it's not debatable, right? It's not like, well, like some teams, are we going to retire this guy's number? We're not going to retire. We'll do it a little bit down the road when it's a little further away. I mean, this is Tom Seaver we're talking about.
It is Tom Seaver we're talking about, and there's a reason why they called him the franchise, Gordon.
Right.
And because he was that good. And in an era of the 60s when you had elite pitchers, Drysdale, Koufax, Gibson, Juan Marichal, the list goes on and on and on and on. Nolan Ryan, as a Met, not great. When he left the Mets, Hall of Famer, Tom Seaver was in that category, one of the elite pitchers in baseball. in the game. And for a franchise that has not had a lot of numbers that need to be retired. It's
right.
Not like the Yankees, okay? There have not been a lot of players who have had who deserve to have their number retired. This should have been done long ago.
I'm pretty sure this did start with the Wilpons. I might be wrong on that. The process of getting the snap, but I mean, like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah.
He hasn't pitched in 30 years, and it's just you do that so that he can be there, and the fact that he won't be there, I don't know. It just seems kind of. I mean, even now, like, you go and look at Baseball Reference. I just wanted to make sure. Like, they have the images of the best players to ever play, the war leaders, whoever you respected. Tom Seaver's still number one in Met history.
Yeah. And he's going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
He's going to be there for a while. But, you know, Dwight Gooden maybe would have done something had he been able to, you know, control his substance abuse situations. He was a guy that was, you know, could have been able to challenge him a little bit. You know, DeGrom, if he had started a little earlier, may have been able to challenge him a little bit, but I don't see anybody right now that Seaver's going to have that record for a long time. He might have I saw one of your tweets today about records that may not be broken.
Right.
But this is local as far as on this team. I don't know. I haven't seen anybody yet.
I'll tell you right now, you know, war is kind of a new age stat that, you see it, but you don't really put it together sometimes. Tom Seaver is the best Met in terms of war in his career, 78.8. David Wright is second, and he's 49.2. So that, David Wright plays his entire career now. Maybe his career got cut short some.
Sure.
But even then, he's still far away. The next guy is Dwight Gooden, 46.4. The next guy is DeGrom, 42.4. So you're still, you're talking about, you know, almost half in career war to Tom Seaver, who didn't play his entire career with the Mets.
Right. Exactly. Which is another story.
Yeah, well, sure.
That's another story. 1-800-919-3776. Let's talk to Lynn in Staten Island. He's up first on ESPN New York tonight.
Hey, guys. Larry, I called over the weekend. I told Gordon I listen to you guys every night. But I'm 65, so I sometimes fall asleep, you know. So that's the only thing. So, but, Gordon, you guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, Gordon, so I was going to the game tonight. I didn't go for other reasons. But I said to my son earlier in the week, I said, oh, yeah, I want to go. It's Elston Howard bobblehead night. And he said, Dad, you taught me who Elston Howard is. But no one who's going to the game will know who the heck Elston Howard is. And then I said, yeah, you'd have a 40-year-old guy taking his 10-year-old son. And the 10-year-old son will say, Dad, who's Elston Howard? The guy will say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I get one more into why.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Larry, I say this tongue-in-cheek, okay? I called Gordon over the summer, and I said, Gordon, you are on constantly, constantly. You have a family. Don't you ever see your kids? Tongue-in-cheek, Larry. And I said, Larry, where does Larry work? 8 hours a week?
You know? No, Larry works with me. He's like the mirror image of me. We're together at this time.
I said it tongue-in-cheek, all right? I'm not, just teasing, but. But Gordon was on constantly. Larry, you got a nice life. God bless you. I don't begrudge you a second. You're great. I love listening to you. So.
I appreciate you, Lynn. Thanks for checking in.
Don't get Larry being forced to work more hours now. Just let's dump that call. Dump Lynn's call. Make sure nobody gets alerted here.
See, because Gordon's on during the day with the update, so that's it. You know, people, didn't Lynn obviously didn't listen to New York Sports and Beyond on Sunday mornings at 5 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I'm on in the morning. I'm on for like a minute. You know, don't blink, you'll miss me. You know, I mean, it's not like I'm hosting a show.
I know. But you're up early doing that, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, but, actually this helps me do that because I'm up and I'm watching it. We're talking about it. So, all the issues going in as opposed to, going to bed. I'll find out about it in the morning. This way I'm staying up. I know everything. And then I'm just rehashing everything in the morning. Here's a DiPietro and Rothenberg cut. Here we go. Back to KJM.
You have a fresh perspective.
Exactly.
You get to read it.
Exactly.
Sleep on it.
New audience all the time, Larry.
Absolutely. Every few minutes.
Absolutely. Always checking in and checking out.
It used to be every 15. No, not now. Not in the age of smartphones. It's every second. You have a new audience change. Look at the rain at the stadium now, huh? Wow.
I'll tell you, there's nothing better than watching people try to put on these rain slickers. I mean, it's good stuff.
So now here's the question. Man, David Phelps is still pitching? Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Call the game. Call the game.
Yeah, Toronto's got to get out of here. Let's get out of here. 2-0 Yankee win. Let's put it in the books.
You know, Toronto's got to get out of here. They got a flight to catch.
Absolutely. They got to go through customs, yeah, all the other things.
Absolutely. It's a problem. We'll get you caught up with the Yankees at the end of the game. They are batting in the bottom of the seventh with the runners on first and second and nobody out. And that we'll see if the Yankees can add to their lead in this situation. In the rain, Gordon, in the rain. As raindrops fall at the stadium.
Well, I mean, you know, the Yankees are not going to call it just yet.
They're
going to have to play through. So if they could tack on another run here or two, that would be nice. A little wiggle room for the bullpen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe you can give somebody an extra inning if this happens.
Oh, no. Let's not get crazy. You got to pace yourself, Larry. It's a very long season. These guys, they had a short spring training.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have.
Everybody's going to go take a nap.
Yeah. Oh,
after the game is over.
We're worn out.
Exhausted. They're worn out. Absolutely.
Woo.
7 games in.
Woo. Everybody gets a day off. The Mets were ecstatic to have the day off today. They don't know what to do with themselves. 7 games a day off. Wow, we're great.
Wow. Well, look, when you're 5-2,
you don't want a day off.
You don't want a day off, right? That's the worst thing you have happen.
You want to keep rolling. All right, let's talk about this series. It begins Sunday in the city of Boston. It's the Nets. It's the Boston Celtics. And Kevin Durant was asked if he's thinking about what happened last year when they faced Boston.
I mean, they got, 6 or 7 new players on their team, I think, right? I'm not even thinking about last season. That shouldn't even enter anybody's mind. Like, that shit was so long ago. And the new, like, our coach, one of our coaches is their coach now. Like, it don't even make sense to even look at that series. Like, I forgot all about that series.
Kevin, you expecting Ben Simmons to play?
No, I'm not expecting him to play. That's easier for me, you know. Like, I'm not putting any pressure on Ben to come out there and hoop, you know. So I'm not expecting him to do anything but just to get his body right, you know, get healthy as fast as he can, you know. So in my mind, I'm preparing as if, like, we're playing with the team we have.
How big would it be to have him back?
I'm not even thinking about that. I mean, we all know what type of player Ben is, and you can put together scenarios in your mind on your own or what it would look like. But I'm not going to go there because we're just taking a day at a time.
Obviously, you've seen him at practice. No rush. This really, to be honest, Gordon, what's the rush now? You didn't rush him to get him. You didn't rush him to get some games in at the end of the season. Why would you rush him now? Just keep, let him go through his rehab. Let him continue to do what he's doing, whatever he is, as he gets better and better. If you move on, if you happen to move on and you get further down the line and he's available, then yeah, you bring him in. But to rush him, because depending on who you talk to, well, he's got to be ramped up. We got to ramp him up some more. We got to, you know, he's been shooting a little bit, but does he have pain? There's just so many variables. And I understand the gamesmanship that the Nets are under, where you have to have in the back of your mind, well, is this the night he plays? Is it possible he's going to be available? And so on and so forth, because you have a possible 7-game series, and that's how you play mind games with your opponent that way. I mean, why would you put him in that position of trying to come back and do anything with you when he hasn't had any playing time in a regular NBA game?
There was less ramp-up time to create Frankenstein's monster. I mean, the amount of ramp-up time. I mean, guy, I'm sure, has an injury. It seems like every day there's a change in the story. He's going to play. He's not going to play. I mean, I don't think you could get Kevin Durant to admit that there is actually a person named Ben Simmons. I mean, he was so non-committal about it. Is there an actual person on the team named? Oh, I can't. I don't know. I can't. I'm not sure. I don't know what to. We'll see. There's a report from Windhorst that there's a possibility that he might play the home games for the Nets. I mean, the Nets are like a traveling circus, man. There's like so much stuff going on with them. They are like a reality show. So we'll see. I mean, look, he provides value.
Of course he does.
But I don't know that he necessarily changes the series the way that you know what he provides in terms of defense is great, but he's a non-factor offensively.
Right.
He's timid in it, when the pressure's on, it seems like, in his career. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't played all season.
Yeah.
So if you're expecting to get anything out of him, I think you're making a mistake, because how could you ever expect to get anything out of that guy? Now, if he might play, but to get to expect, well, he's going to do this or do that, I think that's like fool's gold, expecting anything at this stage.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. The only thing that might make him, and I think the Nets have enough depth, but the only thing that might make it worth him playing if he could, excuse me, is the fact that, I mean, look how many minutes that Durant and Kyrie played in the play-in game. They were both over 40 minutes. And I understand that in the playoffs, everybody shortens their bench. That's really short. It's a lot of playing time for a play-in game. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's more them making up that call, and KD and Kyrie, than anybody on the Nets making that call. So we shall see. Right. I mean, it's going to be fascinating. I don't like the Nets per se, but Kevin Durant is a fascinating player. He's a sensational player. I would expect, I know they just came in off the play-in, but I kind of expect the Nets to win the series.
I do too, but I think it's going to be a good series, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't think it's going to be anything short. I think it's going to be 6-7 games. But, you know, money on the line, Kevin Durant on one side, I'm sticking with that side.
I hear you. Jason's in Warwick. He's next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Jason.
Hey, man, I love you guys together. So
thanks, Jason.
I will just say, as I was on hold, everything changed as to the point that I wanted to make. Kevin Durant sounds more Jordan-esque like than ever before. Like, he's very humble about what he's saying. And, you know, this is a guy that really loves the game. Mm-hmm. But my point was about Ben Simmons kind of interact. This is basketball, and this guy can't even make a foul shot. Like, what do you guys think about this difference of, like, is he hurt or is he just not comparable?
Well, that's an interesting question, Jason. Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combination, right? Like, I'm sure he does have some sort of injury, but I think that there is some other component to this, that it's not just the back injury. If it were just the back injury and his back were this troublesome, I think you would have a little bit more of a clear picture of, okay, what can you expect and when? I mean, I think that there is a, I don't want to say mental component to it, but it does kind of feel like a mental component of when he's going to feel comfortable and why people are answering the questions the way they're answering them. It's like they almost don't want to even admit his existence because they don't want to do anything to I don't know, like hurt his psyche.
Or add more pressure to him.
Right.
But is that acceptable if you're a teammate of his? Like, I don't understand that point.
I mean, look, they accepted it, right? I mean, I'm sure before they made that deal, they went to Kevin Durant and to Kyrie Irving to see, you know, how they felt about it and how did they feel like that was, you know, worth the deal that they were making in trading away James Harden and bringing in Ben Simmons. So,
well, I would like to say something positive. Yeah. I hope Ben gets his whatever he needs to get together, because we all know he can dish the ball. He's an awesome defender, which is so needed in the NBA because there's nobody pays defense. So he could be a huge asset. I hope he gets his mind together.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that he's going to at some point. I mean, it's the best. It's better. It's a better spot than he could have ever asked for.
Right. Going he's not asked to do anything. You don't have to do anything, Gordon.
Right. You just come in, play your D. You're not going to hit foul shots down the stretch of games. You're not going to be asked to score at all during the stretch down the stretch of games. You're going to come in and you are going to be a guy just lock. See that guy there? Lock him down. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. And however long he can go, 15, 18 minutes, he'll come in and already get more minutes than Obi Toppin got all season. But, you know, that's another point for another day, Larry. It's another point for another day.
Yeah, but it's interesting when you hear Kevin Durant, because it's almost like, I didn't say he could play. It's like, I didn't say Ben Simmons could play. Ben Simmons is not playing. Well, don't worry about that. He's not going to play yet. But it is fascinating. Steve Nash weighs in, and also Charles Barkley has an interesting prediction on this series. We'll Hear from them and you as well next on 98.7 ESPN. Was your heart in your throat?
Oh, my God, Larry.
On that play at second base.
Oh, my God. Play. I was convinced it's gone. I wanted them to rain it out. It's only a 2-0 lead. Disaster is looming. The Yankee game, there was a base hit up the middle. It looked like a routine play, but it hit the bag, bounced over the shortstop's head. And then the Blue Jays followed that up with another hit. So first and second, only one out. They go to Chad Green, but Green came in and was able to get a double play. You know, Green, I don't know. It doesn't seem like Green, his velocity is where it usually, I mean, I always felt like he threw it harder than that. Like the other night, he was only throwing like 93, 94. Maybe it's the fact that it's early on in the season and all the other things, but a little worried about him.
He is not the pitcher he was when you first brought him up.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's a long season, so hopefully he gets whatever worked out.
I mean, because even last season, Gordon, near the end, his velocity dropped. It was kind of crazy. It was kind of crazy. Before we hear from Steve Nash, let's hear from Buddha in the Bronx. He's next on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, my guys? What's up?
Buddha.
Hey, you know, I've listened to your reports about Ben Simmons, and, you know, he is getting better. You know, his back is getting better. You know, KD's helping him develop a spine. And, you know, he's going to be right out there. You know, maybe he'll get that same spine he had when Embiid was hurt and they were playing against the Nets. Remember he was flexing over there at the Barclays Center?
Yeah.
He had a couple of dunks. Yeah, let's see what happens. That punk. But anyway, man.
You're a bitter man, dude. A bitter man.
Man. Listen, you know, I just want to ask Gordon a question. And listen, Gordon, I'm not trying to come at you. I'm really not. I love you.
That's a sign he's coming at me, Larry. This is it. Here it comes. Here comes the hammer.
Stop it. I love you, Depp. I heard you talking about Max Kellerman. I saw, you know, the certified Knicks haters. And, you know, I understand Unk. You know, a guy's Unk's age range. You know, they saw the Knicks win a couple of chips. You know, they had Clyde. You know, they had Willis. You know, Bradley, Bush, Pearl. Then I do understand also the 40-ish and under, you know, Knicks, they saw the bomb squad. You know, they had the Ewing era. But, like, Gordon, you're like my age.
Yeah.
And I got to be quite honest with you, man. You know, like, the question I had to ask you was, like, what attracted you to the Knicks, like, in the late 70s, early 80s? Was it Jim Clemens?
No.
Knight?
I'll be honest with you, Buddha. I was much more baseball, football growing up, was not a big basketball fan. And then I started to get into it a little bit, and that was the year the Knicks won the lottery. And when they won that lottery, it wasn't that they were going to win a championship. The idea was they got Patrick Ewing. Here comes the new dynasty in the NBA. The Knicks are good now with this Patrick Ewing guy. And that's when I started to get on board. And, you know, look, it had its highs. It never got to the peak that we wanted it to, but that's what got me on board. I love a good bandwagon, Buddha. You know, I mean... That's what I was looking for.
No, that makes sense, though. Because, I mean, listen, you, like I said, you and I are the same age, man. Yeah. I couldn't watch them, man. Like, I mean, Pat Cummins, Ken the Animal Bannister. He had a couple of years with Sugar Ray Richardson, but, you know, he got all coked out, and, you know, he fizzled out, man. Like, see, the only reason I became a Sixers fan, really, was because of Dr. J. You know, it was twofold, you know. I remember they had that basketball. You remember this uncle when they had that Spalding basketball with the red, white, and the blue with the Dr. J signature. My father had bought me that ball, man. And then they also, like, in the early 80s, you know, they came out with that video game. Mm-hmm. It was Dr. J versus Larry Bird for the Atari 2600. You listen, nobody in the world hated the Boston Celtics more than my father, and then he passed it on down to me. And then, like... the Sixers will always lose. Remember the 81? We was up 3-1. Yeah. Remember Bobby Jones had the plastic man dunk on Larry Bird?
Yep.
And then, like, you know, like when they finally got over that hump, that's kind of why I became a Sixers fan. But now when you say it was the UN era, it makes sense to me, though. Because, I mean, when I was your age, man, when I was younger, man, like them 70s. You remember that WWOR, what was that, Channel 9?
Yeah.
No, those games was like going to the dentist. You remember Hubie Brown standing there yelling? Yo, it was hard to watch, man. For real, man. Yeah. I just want an explanation. That's all, man.
Yeah, all right.
No, Gordon's actually a Buddha. Gordon's actually an Ed Sherrard fan. Edmund Sherrard, who played guard at that time, with Rory Sparrow in the backcourt. Oh, my God.
And look, I'll be honest with you. The Knicks have always been my third team. Mm. The Yankees and the Dolphins, those are 1 and 2. They're neck and neck, and the Knicks are third to me. But, you know, look, when it's basketball season, I look forward to it. I just wish it could ever get – you know, it's weird because when I got into it and in the 90s, you're thinking to yourself, oh, it's like this all the time. Eventually it's going to – And then it's just been one thing after another. And, you know, I love a good bandwagon. As I said, I picked all the wrong bandwagons. My three guys in my three sports, they all were guys who never got the ultimate championship, even though they were all great players. Marino, Mattingly, and Ewing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, classic guys. Hall of Famers.
Yeah, no question.
Mattingly could be.
Yeah. You know, it seems to be a little bit more of a push for it now. If he doesn't end up there, it's okay by me. I mean, he did have a short peak, even though his peak was unbelievable. But if you're a Yankee fan of a certain age, Don Mattingly was your guy. I mean, it's not even a question.
Absolutely. He was my early days, Gordon, of going to the ballpark. He was a great person to chat with. His post-game stuff was great. Like, you could talk to him before the game.
Mm-hmm.
Great. He had a lot of great stuff. Near the end of his career, he was.
They just had that documentary on him on MLB Network, and you got to see. You know, it was nice little nostalgia to go back to the '80s and stuff like that. It's amazing they left out they're talking about. You know, and eventually the team got better. They left out the whole part about Steinbrenner getting suspended. That's why the team got better. Like, what, guys? You just kind of left out a pretty significant piece there.
Yeah, that's true. The Stick Michael years.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank goodness for Stick Michael.
Oh,
changed
God.
The whole thing around.
Absolutely.
He blew up the Columbus shuttle.
Yeah, right?
Thomas is in the Big Apple. Hey, Thomas, you're next on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Gordon.
Hey, Thomas.
I just wanted to add my opinion on Ben Simmons. I think it would be a big boost for the Nets if he could shake off the cobwebs. Like you mentioned, he is a three-time All-Star. He, at his best, you know, he puts up triple doubles and stuff like that. If he could force himself out there and pass this this mind thing that he's on, they would be unstoppable.
But Thomas, let me ask you this. With so much at stake, is this the time you want to trot him out? Hasn't played since June, okay? Is this the time that you want to see if what he has with playoffs on the line and the possible championship?
Nah, they have to, like you already implying. Yeah, they have to ease him into it. But potentially he could be he could be creating a whole lot of problems if he just reverted back to his form. I probably wouldn't force him back in. No. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would be a good idea. But I'd like to ask you and Gordon one question also.
All right.
If you have, hypothetically, you have to take into consideration your own favorite player of any sport, anytime. What if, do you think putting your favorite player, whoever he is or she is, on a team that has not won a football, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, whatever championship in like 100 years, who do you think feels more pressure to win? The actual, your favorite player or the owner?
Thanks for the call, Thomas. I'm going to say it's still the owner because I think, especially in baseball and football and basketball, let's go with those three because those are my favorites. One person doesn't really do it for you. You still need to, in the NBA, you still need to have up to one or at least another really good player. In Major League Baseball, you still need to have a couple of good players to protect that great player in the lineup. I mean, Mike Trout, to give you an example, Mike Trout is according to across the board, I don't care who you talk to, is considered the best player in baseball. Right, you never see him in the postseason because he's the best player on this team. He doesn't have help. Football, even at the quarterback spot, as great as quarterbacks are, look at what Aaron Rodgers is considered a fabulous quarterback. It's still the pieces that you have around them. So I think the pressure, Gordon, a long way of answering it, I think the pressure is going to be on the owner.
I would think it's on a play. I mean, I'm guessing I don't really know if I understand the question perfectly, but I would think that the player feels more pressure, you know, because the owner can own the team for forever, however long he wants. You know, the player only has a certain period of time that they can win a championship. And you know what? Like, I don't know who's the most prominent owner that has never won a championship, but I don't know if they necessarily hear about that nearly as much as the great play, you know, like Dan Marino. I'm sure there's not a day goes by that Dan Marino does not hear from somebody, oh, it would have been great if you could have won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it might be the player more in my eyes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, Gordon, did you know Aaron Hicks wasn't in the lineup tonight?
Well, we got to rotate everybody, right? Here's the thing. You know what? I think we've solved the center field issue.
Mm-hmm. Judge,
if you're telling me that Gallo is such an amazing left fielder and defense is so important, well, mm-hmm. then Aaron Judge playing center field is just fine.
Yeah.
You're telling me there's more of a chance of injury because he's playing center field as opposed to right field? He should be playing center field on a pretty regular basis, especially given Aaron Hicks's health issues.
And I like Stanton in right better than left. Just me.
Yeah. Well, like left field at Yankee Stadium, that's a big field to cover. I don't want him running around. Yeah, no, absolutely. Right field is much easier.
Much easier in right field, and Gallo is the better defender.
Absolutely.
So yeah. We'll see. And Judge got crossed home with an insurance run. So the
Yankees
little
3-0. Oh, baby. We're back, Larry. We're back.
That's it. And, you know, the Stairmaster.
I can't wait to find out what Rothenberg and DiPietro are going to cook up as far as Yankee issues for tomorrow. I mean, won a game. I mean, they got to come up with something. They'll find something.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. The misinformation campaign those two guys are on. It's unbelievable. I can say that. They're both in bed now.
Somebody will tell them. Yeah. RJ's listening. RJ never sleeps.
He might.
I'll tell you that. I remember when I first started the show, and RJ would follow. Mm-hmm. RJ is always awake.
Really?
Always awake at night. But that was pre-marriage, RJ.
Yeah, no, that's
might
not.
Be a little different now.
Right. Now he'll find out it's not even that when you go to bed, the wife will give you, well, I can't sleep unless you're here.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a routine that he'll become familiar
with
over
time. Either that or go sleep in the other room because you have to get up at 3 a.m. I don't want to be disturbed.
Yeah, see, my wife is not allowed to pull that one because she's got the sharp elbows. So she would always, when I was doing the mornings, that was, some people set 2 alarms, 3 alarms. I would set 1 alarm and I'd have the wife as the second alarm.
Wow. And the sore rib.
And RJ just texted me.
See?
So he is awake.
I told you. RJ never sleeps.
Wow.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.